This time, we're going to continue on the matter of the gospel on the campus. So the first day, we covered something regarding the fact and the unique that there's a unique opportunity for the students to preach the gospel on the campus to students. This is a unique opportunity, and we all need to partake of this wonderful fact. You know, everybody in the church life has their own sphere in which they contact people, right? You know, the mothers, they go grocery shopping, they go may take their kids to the daycare, maybe they go to the soccer field, dads are at work, whatever. But, you know, it's the same way on the campus. It's just a fact that it's a very big fishing pond. But you're there. Praise the Lord. And it's a unique opportunity for you to preach the gospel. And in the message two, we talked about the real importance for prayer. And not only general prayer, but interceding prayer. And interceding prayer with perseverance. So to do this, there needs to be a group buildup on your campus. You know, this is one thing we want to develop this matter a little bit more during this next little bit of time. And then the third message was the fact that we need to endeavor in our shepherding. Shepherding with a lot of care, with a lot of feeling for others. You know, the shepherding involves our shepherding one another. You know, I think there was a lot of emphasis on shepherding others in the message, but there's also the emphasis on our shepherding one another. This may be the more important aspect of any labor that we do. We need to have a group that enters into a mutual shepherding, a mutual care, a mutual feeling for one another. So this session, the title is Taking Up the Leadership on Campus to Gain a People for the Church. You know, the first Roman numeral is kind of an overview. It says, the Lord's up-to-date economy is to gain young people for His recovery. We must pray to be burdened with this commission. So this is a little bit of a review from the first three messages. So we'll go right into Roman numeral 2, which says, the only way to carry out a dynamic, powerful, and prevailing gospel work on any college campus is to form a nucleus of students that can take up the leadership on that campus. You know, you can do any kind of work and labor, even by yourself. You can even do a work on your campus. But we need to realize and take the way of training to see that to do a prevailing work, there's a difference between a work and a prevailing work. Yeah. So if you want your work to be prevailing, we have to get into, some of the ministry is very good concerning how to do a prevailing work. And I hope you all have had opportunity to read the messages that Witness Lee gave in 1967, very early on in his ministry in the U.S. He gathered some students together in the Bay Area and talked to them, fellowship with them about the work, the labor on the campus. And he was burdened that they would have a prevailing gospel work. So his whole fellowship with them was on the matter of a nucleus. You know, establishing a nucleus, having a nucleus on the campus. And he said a couple things. He said, to do a work on the campus, two matters are necessary. One, you must be in the church. That means you must be bound to the body of Christ. You're a member of the body of Christ. If you want to do a work on the campus for the church, you're in the church. And you're bound to the church as a member of the body of Christ. And even this enables you to live a proper Christian life on the campus. And secondly, he said you need to form a nucleus of students that are burdened for their campus. You know, most of you have taken cell biology, right? You know, a nucleus. A nucleus is part of the major organelle of a cell. it's very obvious. If you look at a microscope, you can usually see. If you can see the cell, you can see the nucleus inside the cell. You know, a eukaryotic cell, the kind that we have. But this nucleus, it has some primary functions that it is responsible for the growth of the cell. It's responsible for the reproduction of the cell. You know, and it contains, you've heard this term, right? It contains the molecules of life. You know, the nucleus contains the molecules of life. You know, in our cells, those in the nucleus, those are the DNA. And the DNA has the responsibility for the expression of the genotype. Has responsibility of the phenotype. Is there? It's there in the genes, the chromosomes. They have the responsibility that cell would bear the proper nature of that cell, and that cell would be joined together with its companions, with its neighboring cells, to produce organs or tissues or whatever. So the nucleus is very important for growth, reproduction, for expression. You know, and this is the kind of function and responsibility we should keep this in view when we're together on the campus. So our brother Lee said that there's three basic things needed for the formation of a nucleus. You know, this is all somewhat of a review, this part, because 2 years ago we brought up this matter of the nucleus and the importance of a nucleus and the importance of the students on each campus, each individual campus, to endeavor to form a nucleus. So the first thing is that you must maintain a proper relationship with the church. So even though the labor, the work there, has to be carried out by the students, and shouldn't be placed under the control of the church, there needs to be a proper relationship with the church. So secondly, you have to go along with others. We have to learn how to be mutual. We have to learn how not to be so legal. Learn how not to be legal. Don't think that there's just one way. You know, your companions more than likely have a better way. Praise the Lord. And don't think that your nucleus has to be composed of ones who have, you know, such a high vision. They've been to 5 college trainings and they've been around. You know, even an unbeliever. What if an unbeliever came to you because he just saw you? You were smiling. He said, I won't, you know, what do you have? And you tell him a little bit and he says, I want to join you. You know, I don't really know the Lord, but are you going to allow him to come into your nucleus because he's an unbeliever? Well, this unbeliever can become a believer. Amen. And he can become a very significant part of your nucleus. Amen. So it shouldn't be legal. The third thing is that you need adequate spiritual lessons. This means we need constant, continual training. Practice, contacting the Lord, consecrating ourselves, experiencing a thorough clearance of the past, you know, all the things we're talking about our conscience, a clear conscience. Because if you have practiced these things, you'll be able to lead others into these things. You'll be able to lead those ones that you meet into a good way to contact the Lord. If you can contact the Lord, you can lead others into contacting the Lord. And the other thing is, you need to follow the inward anointing. Learn how to follow the leading of the Spirit. And learn how to maintain a peaceful condition in your being. Okay, B, I don't know why it's here in the first person plural, but I like it that way. So we can all read it together, okay? And emphasize the we part here. Okay, let's just read together B, 1, 2, 3, 4. We should always go on with the nucleus. We should never go on independently. We should always pray together. The primary matter that we should attend to is prayer. We should always fellowship with one another. We should always make decisions as a nucleus. In our preaching of the gospel, people must be fully impressed that we are in one spirit and with one soul. Nothing is more convincing than this. I missed this A, but it just mentioned that the saints who attend a given school or college should first come together, fellowship, and fan one another's spirit into flame. I like this word, come together. You know, it also mentions, you know, in B1, but, you know, there's a couple, you know, in Acts, in the Gospels and in Acts, this word together, I don't know if this is really a lot, but it's used 98 times in, you know, in these five books. I think it's quite significant. The Lord wanted the disciples to be together. You know, and He was only with them for 3.5 years. But after the 3.5 years, you know, I like that there's one verse. It's Acts 2:14. It starts out as Peter standing with the 11. You know, this is when he gave this marvelous, the first gospel message. He was standing with the 11. You know, before the Lord's resurrection, all the disciples scattered, right? they were just scattered. And they were all somewhat doing something independently. But something happened in the, you know, through the crucifixion, resurrection, that caused them to, and their prayer for 40 days caused them to be in one accord. So Peter could stand together with the 11. So we need to realize this ability to stand together with one another is something that's been worked into us through the Lord's ministry on the earth. And verse 46 says, day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord. Praise the Lord. In the next verse 47, it says, the Lord added together. I really like this word, together. We should endeavor to be together. And B1 says, pray together. You know, to pray together and to be together in your nucleus is much more important than planning events. You know, being the nucleus, it's a little bit different from a vital group. I don't really know exactly where the difference is. But the nucleus is related to the work, whereas the vital group is related to our living, being related to one another. So the nucleus you're developing is related to the work. So you're praying, but you're praying together and being together. Really, your primary work is to be together. To be together, encouraging one another, fellowshipping with one another, making decisions together, being one spirit with one soul. And four, at the end of this four says, nothing is more convincing than this. You know, if you have a nucleus and it's just doing work and planning events and you bring somebody in, if they don't have a view of what you're doing, they can't be brought into a view. Actually, what I mean to say is if you are together as a nucleus and your primary goal is to care for one another, to be with one another, to shepherd one another, and maybe you might, you know, plan some events and do some things, but if the primary reason is to care for one another, to pray for the ones on your campus, to pray for your friends, to pray for, you know, and then to take care of, you know, your problems, to pray, you know, someone else's problems. If you invite somebody in, you know, everybody's got problems, right? If you invite somebody in and they see this kind of environment, don't you think they're going to want to be part of it? They say, maybe these guys will pray for me. But they may. So this is the primary thing. Get together so that you can care for one another's needs. This is more convincing. This is more convincing than planning a lot of great events. Forget about the events. Come together just to pray, fellowship, take care of one another. Find out. You have 4 or 5 companions. We need to find out what's going on in their lives, right? And you need to let them know what's going on in your life. If you open to them, they're going to for sure open to you. Amen. This is a great way. You know, we need to be related to one another. Amen. You know, so many students, especially the freshmen, they want to be related to somebody. Yeah. They just left their family. They left their brothers and sisters. They're wandering on the campus. They have nobody. If you can be related to, if you can show them an environment where you get related and care for all the things that go on and you bring all these things to the one who is able, then they're going to want to be part of that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then this next section, the purpose of our labor on the campus. is not merely to bring people to the Lord, but also to collect materials for the building up of the church. Let me read a couple. I'm going to read a paragraph here. This is in this 1967 volume. The Campus Work in the Church is the title here. Or actually, the Fellowship on Beginning the Work Among Students. The students must go on freely. However, they should realize that with this freedom, there is also a danger of doing a work that is independent of the body. If the students work without the proper view, they will damage the work. As students, you are members of the church. Praise the Lord. Whatever you do must be for the church life. You should do your best to fellowship with the church in order to properly coordinate with the church. On the one hand, your work should not be under the control or limitation of the church. But on the other hand, you must be a part of a nucleus of people who know the church life. Amen. Then whatever you do will spontaneously be for the body life. Amen. It is crucial that the students know the body life. If you know the body life, although your work will not be under the control of the church, everything you do will be for the church and for the body. If you work in a proper way, eventually, even though you have no intention of representing the church on the campus, what you do with regard to the campus and the nucleuses will spontaneously be related to the church and will be for the practical building up of the body. This is the right way to carry out the work in the schools. So I appreciate this charge that we need to be properly related to the church. So God's eternal purpose is to have the church. Amen. Not to work on the campus, but to have the church. Amen. We have to preach and minister Christ to people with the building up of the church in view. Okay, let's all read B together. Amen. You know, if you have a heart simply for your nucleus and for your preaching the gospel to adding to the nucleus, you're just going to bring people into the nucleus. I mean, that's not bad, but you know, if you just have a heart for preaching the gospel, you'll get people saved. If you have a heart for Bible studies, having a Bible study with people on campus, you'll have lots of Bible studies. You know, I've had lots of Bible studies on campus at NC State and UNC. You know, if you can't get them to be related to a nucleus or especially to the church life, you're just going to have Bible studies. You know, I've stirred up many brothers' love for the Lord. You know, they were raised a Christian. But you strip their love for the Lord, you get them, now they're finally reading the Bible, they're coming to know some really wonderful truths in the Bible, and behind the scenes they're getting more and more related to their denomination, more and more related to their to their pastor, and so you spend even 4 years with some of these, and then you know they thank you for the Bible studies, you know they graduate, right? Thank you, and they go on, and you never see them again. You know, that's good. You stirred up somebody's heart. You can't complain about that. You stirred up somebody's heart for the Lord. Even to become much more active in their church life. So what is our view? We should have a view to bring them, you know, we really enjoy the church life. You know, we enjoy the Word. And we need to bring people into the Word. But for someone to really grow in life and to really see the matter of shepherding one another and God's economy, they have to be brought into the homes. If we're going to the prayer meeting, then the ones that we contact and fellowship with will come to the prayer meeting. If we are going to the homes, every Tuesday night we go to the home. We go to a home with a brother and sister there that have prepared a meal, and together in that small home we get into the Word, and That brother who's been around for 20, 30 years can just pour out all his experiences. If you partake of that week after week, the ones that you bring into your nucleus, the ones that you contact on campus, you're fellowshipping with, they'll receive the same blessing that you received. So we need to have a view of the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we need many homes of the saints for the sake of coordination in the gospel work. Every college student needs a home to which he can bring his friends. You know, this little book, Preaching the Gospel, has a lot of good sections in it. One section here is... it says, Lord Jesus... Preaching the gospel is a work for the entire body. We should not do the gospel work in an individualistic way. We must do it in the body. Amen. We need the young people to go to the campuses, especially those who are 18 and 19 years old. All the young people in the church life are useful. Amen. This is why we have to work with our high schoolers. After graduating from high school, they all will be on the campuses to effectively contact the freshmen. However, we should be in coordination with all the saints. Since we may not have that many young ones, we need many homes of the saints. Since we may not have them, for the continuation of the gospel work, every young person who goes to the campus needs a home for his contacts. The young person who catches 18 new ones should be able to bring all 18 into the living room of the saints. We need living rooms to receive all these new contacts. You know, Brother Andrew, he mentioned that, you know, I think he was talking to the single ones. You all need to go find a campsite. You know, all the students, you need to find a campsite in the living room of the saints' homes. And then bring your contacts camping with you. Every week, bring them camping. Bring them where they can have a good meal. Bring them to a place where they can feel cherished, where they can feel nourished, where they can be comforted. But first of all, you all need to find a campsite. Amen. Find a campsite in your locality. Amen. If you have a campsite, you'll love to bring the contacts to your favorite campsite. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Matt has a couple things to share along the same line. And then we have, I think there's a little bit of... like a little pop-up books, maybe.
Yeah, we'd like to
demonstrations.
Yeah. Some testimonies from some of the students as well.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But first, I just want to share with you a little something that really bothered me a lot when I was growing up in the church life. And that is, it just seems like we speak in contradictions a lot of times, or we deal with contradictions. I'll give you an example. In Matthew chapter 5, we're exhorted in the decree of the kingdom constitution to hunger and thirst after righteousness. But then in the same breath, the Lord Jesus tells us, blessed are the merciful. And, you know, these kind of mercy and righteousness, how's that go together? And so a lot of times, right, we're merciful on ourselves, and then we demand righteousness to somebody else. But actually, it just seems like a lot of times the Lord wants us to be strict with ourselves and merciful to others. That's not fair. Right? And then there's a lot of things like this. Jesus Christ, is he God or is he a man? What about the triune God, three or one? And even all of this fellowship that we've had this week, on a man of God, the very first group session I had with my group, we were just wrangling with this. Surely there's a strong corporate aspect to this matter of man of God. Is that individual? Is that you should be a man of God? Where's the church fit? And I think this bothers people, not just us. You know, the people that don't know the Bible, they say, you Christians, the Bible's full of contradictions. They don't know the Bible. Never read the Bible. But anytime it seems like there's a contradiction, usually there's something really precious hidden there. Usually it's a really important matter of truth. And, you know, with this matter of taking up the leadership on campus to gain people for the church, this is really a strong burden. You know, we have a commission. We have a commission from the Lord. In the end of Matthew, in the end of Mark, in the end of Luke, this commission is there to go. And you disciple the nations. You baptize them, and you teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. And that shows up in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is our commission. Shows up in Acts, too. The verses are here in Acts 26 and Roman numeral 1. Our commission is to go to the people and turn them from darkness to light. People are in darkness. And there is no darker place on the earth than a college campus. And so here we are, by the Lord's mercy and His sovereign arrangement. We're here on a college campus, and we have an opportunity to fulfill, to carry out our commission. But is it just to get people saved? Is this... There are a lot of believers that have a more of a zeal, a stronger zeal than we do, an admirable zeal to gain people for the Lord. Shouldn't we have a heart for people's destiny, eternal destiny? But what is this for? What are we doing? And so we want to open up this matter to you of gaining people for the church. This is what the material is for. Haggai 1:8, one of the verses at the top says, "Go, you go to the mountain and you gather material. Get wood and build my house." All the people on this earth, they're for God. And when they receive the Lord, they're also for something. They're for the church. I want to read you a little portion. This comes from some fellowship Brother Lee gave toward the end of his ministry. He says, "Since I'm a man, I must believe into Christ." This is what every man should do. If you're a person, whoever is a person, they're supposed to believe into Christ. That's everybody. And then he says, "If I'm a Christian, I must be in the recovery. If I'm in the recovery..." And what do we mean by recovery? You know what the Lord's recovery is. The Lord's recovery is the recovery of Christ and the church. The Lord's recovery, lowercase r. That's not the name of our group. The Lord's recovery is just His burden to recover the experience of Christ for the believers. And to recover the believers to His heart's desire, to His eternal intention, which is to gain His body for Christ, a corporate dwelling place which consummates the New Jerusalem, a bride for the Lamb. This is the Lord's recovery. It's Christ in the church. If I'm in the recovery, I must be vital. An overcomer is a vital person. So this burden of taking up the leadership, this is not, you know, John, this is not you at your school opening up and becoming Superman. You figured out how to deal with your conscience. You figured out to exercise your spirit. You have unfeigned faith, brother. And now, you will assume the mantle of leadership on your campus and gain people for the Lord's recovery. This is a very, very skewed, inappropriate view. We're just the weak ones. Only the weak ones here. You know. Only sinners and very weak people. So the Lord, in His arrangement, in His sovereign wisdom, has ordained that we weak ones be with other weak ones. And we pursue the Lord together. So taking up the leadership on campus, just have an understanding that you can't do this by yourself. And two, also realize that your gaining of people is for the church. To gain people for the church. And anyhow, you know, we have this commission And we love the Lord. We dwell with the King for His work. The work, it's His and not mine. I hope it's yours too, though, in a sense. It can be His and not yours, and also yours at the same time. That is not a contradiction. If you die and you gain Christ, that's not a contradiction. But I want to point out to your attention a nucleus in the New Testament. This was a nucleus of at least three brothers that labored together to gain people for the church. I don't know if they were on a college campus. Probably they weren't. But they labored together and they took the leadership to gain people for the church. And these three people are Paul. Who else? We've been reading about him a lot. Timothy. And, yep, Epaphroditus. Let's open our Bibles together, and let's look at Philippians chapter 2. I just want you to observe this nucleus. I think we get a lot from patterns. We get the help from patterns because what do? We know what we're burdened for. I'm burdened for Christ in the church. Okay, but what should I do tomorrow? Okay? Well, we don't want to burden you. We don't want to put something heavy on you. Just have some companions that have the same view, that can labor together with you to build up Christ in the church. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 through 30. And let's read this alternating, but you have to be exercised. Sometimes when you read a long section of Scripture, it's easy to float away. So don't float away. You can exercise in a reading way. Okay, brothers, 19 and 20. The sisters, the next two verses and so on. Go.
Soul who will genuinely care for what concerns you.
Sisters.
For all keep their own names.
Oh, Lord.
Not the names of Christ Jesus. You know his approvedness. As a child with a father, he has served me unto God.
Amen.
And therefore I hope to send
immediately.
As soon as I see how things go with me. But I trust in the Lord.
Become sick, near to death.
But God had mercy on him.
Amen.
And not on him only, but also on me, that I might not have sorrow upon sorrow. I have sent him, therefore, the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful.
Amen.
Receive him, therefore, in the Lord,
with all joy.
Here is, a biblical example of a nucleus. And just three brothers. And so, maybe you're on a campus by yourself. Then you just pray. And pray. The Lord add one to you. We've been praying that way for one of the brothers in my group, in group time. But I just want to point out to you that in this labor to gain people for the church, the soul is very important. It's mentioned in this little section we just read twice. And I'll read the verse. It's up here on top of the page, Philippians 1:27. It says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Worthy of the gospel of Christ. We're burdened for the gospel on the campus. And how you conduct yourself, that's the gospel. A man of God. Timothy was a man of God. Epaphroditus was a man of God. Paul was a man of God. You are men of God. Amen. That whether coming and seeing you or being absent, I may hear of the things concerning you. That you have a really successful campus work. No. That you stand firm in one spirit. That's good. That's really good. But the better one is the next phrase. With one soul, striving together along with the faith of the gospel. In Philippians, Paul mentions the soul a lot. The soul is the part of our being that gives us trouble. You think that you're a people person. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you think you're independent. But the reason behind that is we just have different souls. And if I can't get along with Joshua or have the same thought as Daniel, then we'll just clash. How can we strive together, stand in one spirit with one soul? We need to be related. We've got to be related. And this is a little bit of the burden. Just want to give you handles. We don't want to leave you with this expectation of, okay, this brother and this brother, we're on the same campus, we were at the college training, let's get together and do it. We just want to help you to go on in a very normal, sustained way. Very normal, very sustained. And if we could go back to Philippians chapter 2 and just look at these two brothers. Does it surprise you, verse 20, that the Apostle Paul had nobody like Saul? Of all of the ones that he labored together with, did he not have anybody that was the same soul as him? Is that odd to you? Does that just seem pitiful? I'm sad for him. Here's the word. It's a isopsychon. This iso, you know what this means? That means equal, like isosceles. And you know what psyche is, or psyche, soul. Timothy, of course, he had his Paul, praise the Lord. You don't just automatically, I'm not going to be the same soul with any old buddy. Okay? We both need to be for Christ in the church. But anyway, Timothy had Paul, and he was equal-souled with him. He was the same in his mind, emotion, and will as Paul. And Paul could send him. If Paul sent Timothy, Paul was going. But just that's kind of the end result. How did they get to that point? Well, okay, we'll get to this. Epaphroditus, look at the last verse of the chapter. This is the other mention of soul. 2:30. Because for the work of Christ he drew near unto death, risking his soul. In the Greek it's soul. He risked his soul. The meaning of the word is to have disregard for. To risk one's life, it means you don't care about it. You have no regard for your soul life. And anyhow, these three brothers, they labored together, they cared for one another, but the real verse I want to point out to you, the burden of in my heart, is 25. Is that it? Yeah, 25. I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your apostle and minister to my need. Can someone who has the footnote on that, I don't have the notes in this, read the note on brother, worker, soldier. Somebody stand up. Read it with your brother. Y'all have it, right? Go.
First a brother,
then a fellow worker, and then a fellow soldier.
Okay, let's all recite that together.
First a brother,
then a fellow worker, then a fellow soldier.
And a fellow soldier. A lot of things. I used to have, when I was in the full-time training, I still do it. I'd read the ministry and I'd just put question marks all over the margins. Why is he saying this? And then you get it answered about a paragraph later. But this footnote bothered me for a while, and I didn't get answered for a long time. Why is this note here? It's just repeating the verse. Does that make sense? Does that note footnote really make sense to y'all? Why is that there? I already read it in the verse. How does repeating a section of the verse help me with that verse? Do you know what I'm saying? Can you help? It's emphasizing the order. The only difference in that note is the word first. And this is really what I hope that y'all could have this experience. When you're with one another, how do we regard one another, Chris? I know we're both burdened for University of Georgia and our fellow Bulldogs, and we need more gospel because Bulldogs, you know, they need to get saved. But how are we together? Soldiers? Yeah! Fighting together? You know, that's not the order. It's not that we don't need that. It's not that we don't need that. We do activities. We go out on the gospel. We do Freshman Connect. We do things. But in our nucleus, y'all know what a nucleus looks like. In our nucleus, what are we to one another first? I hope so. I hope so. You know, we can be very inhumane to one another. Have you seen this before? Have you experienced this before? Have you done this before? Man, we're mean to each other sometimes. I'm bad at this. You know, I asked a sister one time on my team. She was going through a change in her life. And I asked her one time after coordination, in my mind, the full-timers, we were in principle like this, a core. And I asked her one time, I said, have I offended you? Because if I did, I'm sorry, I apologize. It seems like this is like one success out of many failures, okay? I just said, it just seems like you're not doing well, and I just want to make sure that there's nothing between you and I apologize. She just started weeping. And this is not a weepy sister, but can we be first a brother with one another? When you read about Paul, Silas, Timothy, and he orders Timothy around, we'll get to it at the end of 2 Timothy, do this, do that, come here, bring the scrolls. But don't neglect what's going on first behind the scenes. First, a brother. You need to be with one another. You need a nucleus. You will not be a man of God. You will not be unfeigned faith. You will not be sustained in your gospel and living as an isolated Christian. Your strength will last 2.5 days. But if you have a bunch of weak brothers and sisters together, you have a much better shot. Even to carry out our commission before the Lord to build up the church. But even still, just because you're together, it's not all good. If we're first a worker. Well, I did my part, Chris. I was out on the gospel 2 hours yesterday. I'm planning to do another 2 today. Saw you hiding out in the library. You know, brother, come on. It's not that hard, saints. Don't laugh. We're this way. How is he going to come preach the gospel with me if he's all eaten up on the inside because his mother is sick? And I didn't even know his mother was sick. Okay? Let me read you something. This is from a book called The Fellowship Concerning the Urgent Need of the Vital Groups. I don't care what you call this thing. You don't have to call it a vital group. You don't even have to call it a nucleus. But be this way. Okay? Listen to this. In forming a group, the first step is to get a companion. The second step is to pray together and fellowship together in order to know each other in a thorough and intimate way. You may pray, Lord, what's the next step that you want us to take? When you ask the Lord such a question, I assure you that He will not tell you to go out and visit people. If you met with your companion last night, and you meet with your companion together again this morning, the first thing to do is, what do you think? The first thing to do is to let your companion know what happened to you between last night and this morning. Oh, no, that's not spiritual. That's not spiritual. We need to make plans because this brother got poisoned and we got a welcome dinner and I think you're bringing the pizza, Chris. We don't have time. Don't be like that. First, a brother. You get to the working and soldiering part. You'll get there. And there's a lot more excerpts. Anyway, and I didn't even really cover what I wanted to cover, but this is what's in me. Is some of it coming out? Be nice to each other. Be, you know, care for each other. Care for each other. This is what I mean by there's two sides. It almost seems like there's contradictions sometimes, you know, because, saints, there is a double standard, and you need to make your bed. You need to not sin and so forth. But, saints, we should just love one another, okay? If there is this kind of atmosphere of love, if the condition is love, if the nature is spiritual, and if our goal is fruit-bearing, we'll be there. It's just nature. It's just natural. I wish I had more time. I already took time from some of the students. I just want to, can you that are sharing come up now? What I wanted to bring up some of the students from George Mason was, this is the reason, come up now. Because at least they're not that good, but they have had some experience. They've had a little bit of experience. Two sisters too, right? They have had a little bit experience in taking care of each other. I don't ask to look at their logbook to see how many people they brought to the Lord. Or how many came in the church life because of them. But I just feel there has been a very good start. And anyway, they can do it better than me. So we'll just start with a little bit of the history and where they want to go, some of their experiences.
I'm just going to tell you a little bit about the history. I started school in 2005, been around for a while. And there was a large team, about 15 people and no core. I think they did basically about everything. There was this one time where I had to stuff mailboxes with pieces of paper, but that's about it. And then I think it wasn't until maybe about 2007 until we really started to, the fall of 2007, that we really started to come together as a core. This was initiated by the full-time team. We got together after one of our college meetings on Saturday in someone's basement, and I think about three people, and three students, and then three full-timers. And it was very, very un-Superman-like. It was very awkward.
It was awkward. It was artificial.
I think we did it only about like three times, because it was that unpleasant. it just, you know, we...
But it was awesome, because it was a start. It was a start.
It was a start. This was the beginning of our core. This is the genesis. And we kind of got to the point in which we started to... I think the team kind of pulled out a little bit. We had a few more students come in. And it got to the point in which we were doing it on a Wednesday night in somebody's home during the prayer meeting. And there was... some students and a full-timer, and it became kind of almost a training session where we would ask questions, like, how do you pray together? I think that's tough. I think our experience is that way, that we get together, and we really don't know how to pray. Or if we try to pray, it's hard to get off the ground. And anyway, this went on for about a year, and then afterwards, the full-timers completely pulled out, and it was just the students. This is when we started our student outings. Christina's going to share a little bit about that. where we kind of went out to Maryland together, and the full-timers went out and started roasting marshmallows and kind of left us in a room. And if we had any questions, we'd yell out a window and ask them. But for the most part, we were together trying to coordinate. And I remember this, I have this distinct memory of us first trying to pray with one another. And it was, I think we lasted maybe about 5 minutes. And then we didn't know what to pray anymore. Also very awkward. But again, it was a start. We started to pray.
Amen.
Amen. This was the point of the core. This was a real turn toward not doing things, because I think at first a lot of us had the concept we gotta do stuff, but this was a more towards life, towards praying.
Amen.
But as the semester wore on, I think actually ended up being a little bit, we needed some help, so we got some of the older saints to come in, we got some of the full timers to come in to help us. Every once in a while, not all the time, but we would be able to ask questions. And then now what we have is it's just the core, and we meet every week in a very normal way.
Yeah, so like Jonah said, I came in with about three other freshmen in 2009, the fall of 2009. And initially, our coordination was a little bit awkward. It's hard to get through, but where we are now is actually really sweet. So I just kind of want to share where we're at now. So after we spent these last 2 years learning how to care for one another, I just really want to stress that, because it's not that we are better at praying or like we read more of the ministry, like prayer ministry of the church or something. It's that I know Jonah and I know Andrew and I know Kalia's situation. I know Christina's situation. We just care for one another. And you think that isn't you think that's not a very large thing, but that is the most important thing. Because you can't pray for the campus work if this other person is going through this kind of struggle. And so now, you know, we've got some changes going on the campus, and we had 5 full-timers this year. We may not have a team next year, but I really think that we will have a prevailing work, not because we're anyone or not because we know how to do this or that, but because there's a group of students, there's about 5 of us next year, that come together and enjoy the Lord. I don't know how it works. I don't know why it works, but I know that when we come together and we enjoy the Lord and take care of one another in a proper way, enjoy the Lord in our spirit, somehow things happen to get done. We have welcome weeks. Pizza shows up. Like, I don't know how it works out. But when we enjoy the Lord, everything seems to work out. Well, I don't want to take too much time from the sisters and dwell kind of in this theoretical. So they're going to share a little bit about practically how our experience worked out.
I actually just graduated from Mason. I was there for 5 years, so I've been around for a while too. But so I was there for the first time that we had our pre-semester outing. And like Jonah said, we went to Maryland, went to like this cute house. And I don't know if there was not enough room, but the brothers slept outside in tents. But we upgraded and we went to Massanutten Inn, which is like a ski resort. And it was really nice. But anyway, what I really appreciated was from the very beginning, we established that this time was not going to be just for doing business. It wasn't going to be just for planning what events we would be doing for the freshmen or like what we would be doing throughout the semester. But the main goal was to just come together and enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
Just to pray together, to ask the Lord to cover the upcoming semester, to really just be built up as this nucleus. And I appreciate what the brother said, that we need to be related to one another. And in my case, I never lived on campus. So my time on campus was very limited. So I didn't always get to see everyone or always make its coordination. So for this was kind of an opportunity for me, and I think it was for everyone to catch up, to really open up to one another, to become related to one another, to open up our situations and just pray. So it was just really an enjoyable time. And the last one I went to, we actually had not just Mason, but we also had UVA students there and also Maryland. So for that, it was like, it wasn't just our burden at Mason. It was now Maryland's burden. It was UVA's burden.
Amen.
So we were praying for all 3 campuses.
Right.
So it's like our view, I guess, went, it wasn't just like at Mason. It was like the teams everywhere. So I think this time it has become very beneficial, not just to us, I mean, just in general. And Tim said, there were times where we thought, okay, we are not sure how we're going to cover the practical matters or like maybe the financial matters of what's going to go on throughout the semester, but somehow the Lord supplied it.
Yeah.
And I really believe that was through our prayer
yeah.
and just
yeah.
being together. So anyway.
Yeah.
Amen. Lord Jesus,
amen.
I transferred to Mason my sophomore year because my freshman year sucked so bad. So I've only known the brothers and sisters in the core for like a year, and I was kind of scared to have a relationship just because I don't want them to judge me. You know, it's just like we're church kids. It's just I felt awkward, you know. But this past year, one of my best friends, she had cancer, and the last year she passed away. And I remember praying to the Lord. I was like, Lord, whatever happens to her, I say amen. But I want to see her before it happens. And a couple weeks later, 3 weeks later probably, I went to see her on a Tuesday. Spent the whole day with her. Next morning, she passed away. The day after that was student coordination. And I remember Wednesday was such a low. I was just void of life. I didn't do anything. I was so lifeless. But I remember, okay, I have to go to coordination on Thursday because we only have 5 people in our core. If I don't go, there's only, you know, I don't want to be that one to not, you know, enjoy the Lord with everyone, be built up together. So I went. And I was so emotional, and I just could not enjoy the Lord. I just did not want to deal with it, but I wanted to be with the brothers and sisters. I just wanted to be with them. And I remember that I prayed to the Lord. I was like, whatever happens, I say amen. And me going to coordination was me saying amen. And I remember I walked in, and I just started bawling, and I ran out of the room. And then I realized I'm here for coordination. And, you know, I say coordination, but it's just really enjoying the Lord. It's nothing really, we never really get things done at coordination. Like, only when we really need to. But most of the time we just enjoy the Lord. We sing, we pray. And I remember I came in and the atmosphere changed. It was an atmosphere of just love and enjoying Christ. And they were able to lift me up when I thought it was over. And I'll probably never forget that day just because it's like, that's when I knew this is real. Amen. This is real.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You know, it's hard. It's hard in just, you know, less than an hour to convey. But I hope there's a little snapshot. It takes time. But I really believe that there's a way, there's really a way for the Lord to accomplish our commission, which is to build up the church, and especially in the place where we are. Just to wrap up, I'm not going to read the verses, but I just want to leave you with a love sandwich. Do you know where the love sandwich is? You know, the Great Commission comes to us in the last chapter of the first 3 Gospels. John doesn't have anything like that. It's a little bit different. In John 15, 12, 16, and 17. John chapter 15, verse 12, 16, and 17 is your love sandwich. The Lord exhorts us to love one another in 12 and in 17. But in 16, he encourages us that we should go forth and bear fruit and that our fruit should remain. And to do that, the vine needs to be healthy. You are the vine. That needs to be healthy. This is a training. I just will invoke that. This is a training. Read footnote 3 on verse 16 and footnote 1 on verse 17. And the last thing is, just in a very practical note, it's not just you as students on a campus. Don't ever forget the church. We have to be related to the church. We're not separate from the church. Our strength comes from the saints, and the homes are our campsites. Get into the homes of the saints.